Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study on the home, we were talking about the extent to which we are to obey those in authority over us if they tell us to do something that we know is sinful. Let's continue with that discussion today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
Abraham told Sarah to tell everybody, I'm your brother. And as a result, people say, if your husband tells you to commit fornication, to wife swap, for an example, that you ought to, and that you'd be in sin if you didn't because your husband commanded you. Well, that is just plain and simple sin. That is vile. That's born in the devil's mind. That is filthy. And that is totally 100% wrong. And don't be deceived by any minister that would teach that. He's parading as an angel of light, but not really giving you the true light. A child is to obey their parent. But what if the parent says, okay, I want you to get drunk. I want you to do drugs. Or they want the child to let them sexually molest them or use them for child pornography. You see, there's a point in a child's life where they don't even obey their parents in deference to the Lord. You see, the thing about obedience, whether it's of a wife to a husband or a child to a parent, employed to an employer, a citizen to a government, it is as unto or in the Lord. It's never right to obey to sin. And when there is a conflict, you are to obey God. However, just like Peter and John in Acts chapter 5, there may be consequences. Those men were beaten because they obeyed God rather than man. Now again, some say if his husband says, don't go to church anymore to his wife, then she shouldn't go. But then you're choosing between God and your husband, and you're giving your husband preference over God. The question is, what does the Bible teach? God or husband first? Again, you do not neglect the duties of the home, but Christ is first. Now, notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Where must the words be before you can teach them to your children? Well, they must be in your heart. Now, in the years of ministry that I've been in, people have asked me, how do I have a family altar, Brother Andy? And I'll mention praying with his family and reading the Bible and telling them what that little passage means. But you know what they normally really want is, Pastor, tell me what material I can use and a curriculum to follow for a family altar. Now, when you look at our text that I just read, I asked, did they have material? Did they have flashcards? Did they have little tests and things like that they gave? Did they have object lessons? No, he just said, you talk of them. When you sit down, when you get up, when you walk, you're going out about the daily business with them, you're lying down. I mean, all facets of the day, when you're with your children, you talk of these things. In other words, it's not just a family altar. if the family altar is the only time you talk to your kids about the things of the Lord, we're not really fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Now, there are many devotional booklets that are written for children and have some good things in them. But in all honesty, they have failed in teaching children doctrine, faithfulness, and practice. Your children need to hear what you have to say from your study of the Word. Now, I'm not saying those booklets are bad, especially if they're scriptural. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that's not the only source the children should have coming into them. They should learn from their parents. Now, as a parent, I would suggest that you get up each morning a little earlier than normal and spend time in God's Word. If you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get up at 5:30, just so you can have that time in God's Word. Meditate on what you read as you drive your car, as you do things that you can think. For example, sometimes a lady may be vacuuming a floor, and yet her mind is thinking about the mall, okay? Or something else with the children, or something they plan down the road. A husband can be out doing something, that mowing a yard or something, and although he's watching what he's doing, he daydreams about other things. Well, that's when you can also think on the things that you've read from God's Word. If you can think of other things, you can think on God's Word. Now, that's simple. So, get up in the morning, read the Word, then ask God to give you understanding of it, to illumine your heart and mind. Then ask God to help you to teach it to your children. By the way, why not share blessings from God's Word with others at work? One of the things that we learned about Spurgeon's ministry back in England in the 1800s is that many of the church members would go to work the next day after he had preached on Sunday, and they would share with their fellow employees the things they learned at church. And they spoke so excited about it and talked about the deep things from God's Word that it started getting people interested, and they started coming to church. And my goodness, you can get things from your personal devotions and from church that you can share with others. You see, how are you going to direct something to your child's heart if it's not in your heart? It's kind of hard, is it not? So have that time in God's Word. And notice how often we are to share it. It wasn't just once a day devotional. Theirs was to give often each day. Now, I understand that they did not live in the same kind of an economy. Theirs was an agricultural, and they would be with their children working in the fields through the day. But we do have times with our children. We don't work 60 to 80 hours a week in many cases. In many cases, it's a 40-hour work week, and you have a lot of playtime with your children. You've got other times, and so make sure you spend those extra times, not just the devotional times, but other times with your children sharing the Word. Today, some teach child rearing from a Christian viewpoint that says, if you do all things this way, then your child will never go wrong. And they go back to Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, my friend, we have found too often that there are many children that do depart. And so often we'll hear people say, well, wait, no, you've made a mistake. If you train your children the way they should go, they'll say one of two things. They'll either not depart from it, or if they do, they'll always come back. I've known people that have trained their children right, and their children were killed in a car accident before they ever repented of their sinful life. You see, if you study to show yourself approved unto God, you will see that the Bible teaches man has a free will. But for some reason or other, many people that believe in free will do not believe that that's true when it comes to child rearing. The children do not have a free will. By their own thing, since Adam was of God, God made a mistake in rearing Adam. Okay? See, a misinterpretation of Proverbs 22:6 has led some preachers to say if children have gone wrong, then you've made a mistake and you owe them an apology. Well, you know what that smacks of? Freud. You know, blame the parents. And you see, your children have no responsibility for their sin. Well, my friend, Proverbs 22:6 basically means if you teach and train them in the way they should go, it will always be there as a prick in their mind. They might rebel, and they may laugh and have a good time in their rebellion as they go to the world and live in the world. And yet, as soon as a godly parent or person gets around them, they're uncomfortable and they're stressed. I've seen people that never heard the Word of God. They weren't raised in a Christian home. And a Christian can say something around them, and it doesn't bother them at all. Their heart's just not open to it. But somebody that has been taught the way that is right, and they're rebelling against it, when they hear it, boy, they get angry. And you see, when you train them in the way they ought to go, it'll be in their heart and mind always as a prick, always as a goad to convict them. And yes, they'll laugh and they'll have fun. Have you ever seen that teenager that comes home? They've been doing things they shouldn't have been doing. They were out there laughing, having a good time. But as soon as they walk in the door, all of a sudden, their countenance changes. Maybe even an angry countenance. Why? Because just the fact of a godly parent, they get around them and they're convicted of their sin. I wrote a booklet titled In the Way They Should Go, and we have it available for $3. And if you'd like to have the booklet, you can write and ask for the booklet In the Way They Should Go, and if you would send a gift of $3, I'll mail that on to you. I'd appreciate it. Okay, but now, again, I just point that out to say no children have a free will. You should teach them in the way they should go. Get it planted in them, because if it's in them, then there'll always be hope that they'll turn back around. Now, let's go on to verses 8 and 9 here, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Don't be ashamed of Jesus in your home. It's interesting that some children, teens, have posters of rock stars, half-naked people, sports heroes, or something else in their room. If you put a Bible plaque on the wall, they'd get upset. They'd take it down if friends were coming over. Now, my friend, people should be able to walk into our homes and know that they're in a Christian home. If they broke in while you were out, they ought to know. We were at church one Sunday. When we got home, our house had been broken into. And what's funny is that one of the things that were stolen that day was the Ten Commandments that were on a plaque on the wall. And they were stolen. Now, I'm kind of praising the Lord that a thief got the Ten Commandments to have to look at. Now, nonetheless, they stole that off the wall. Now, I'm just saying that somebody ought to know that yours is a Christian home. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, May God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.